Before I start the sermon, I want to get something off my chest. I'm not blaming people who translate the Bible. It's very hard to translate from one language to another and catch the sense of what the original writer was trying to say. But I really get tired, especially this time of year, when we keep reading from the Gospel of John about the Jews. The disciples are in the upper room on that first Easter for fear of the Jews, as if the people in the room weren't Jews themselves. It's just an awkwardness of our language. And when Jesus is walking in the temple, as we heard today, and the Jews asked him, it would be better maybe to say those Jews who disagreed with him. Because what you're really hearing there is a discussion between Jewish rabbis who have differing ways of understanding the Torah. And if you know anything about Jews, ask a rabbi to tell you. They tell you if you ever get two rabbis together, you'll get three opinions. Sort of like Episcopalians. So this isn't a case of the unbelieving bad Jews attacking the wonderful Christian Jesus. Everybody there were Jews. They were in the temple, after all. But that's not the point of the sermon at all. I just have to get that off my chest once in a while. So Jesus is walking in the temple, and it was, you can't tell this from the translation either, it was Hanukkah time. And therefore it was winter, and it was cold, and he's walking in the portico of Solomon, because it was one of the few sheltered places in the temple complex to get out of the cold wind. And others were there, and someone would say, look, we keep wondering, if you're the Messiah, go ahead and tell us. And Jesus said, I have told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name tell you that. But you don't believe because you don't belong to my sheep. And lordy, lordy, folks, what we Christians have said about Jews ever since because of that. But he's not talking about that. And this is where I would like us to go, because I'd like to think today from Jesus' remarks here and other things in the scriptures about belonging and believing. Christians have been discussing and often arguing about the relationship between believing and belonging from our earliest days. To belong to God's people, must I first believe? Or must I belong to the people of God and then within that community come to believe? Another theme parallel to that has to do with another word that begins with B, and that's behave. Can I become part of this community if I don't behave the way I'm supposed to? Or do I become part of the community regardless of how I behave, so there I can learn to behave? All of that. And you'd think we could all say, well, it's all together. But no, you know, we Christians, we have to argue about which way. And I'll tell you right now, the heresy group that I fall into is the ones who believe belonging is the most important thing, or the first thing, for most of us. Not everyone. But for me, it's the most important. On that subject of belonging, believing, behaving, I think sometimes of a little girl I once knew. Her family had just come to my parish church for the first time the preceding Sunday. And I realized one afternoon that week I was in their neighborhood, and late afternoon I thought, I think I'll just drop by on the off chance that I might catch them at home. I'd not yet learned what a terrible thing it is for the priest to drop in unexpectedly. Or maybe. It isn't always. But when I knocked on the door was answered by their 6-year-old daughter. Turns out that only she and the housekeeper were at home. But she'd been well brought up in the Episcopal Church, and her manners were impeccable. And she said, please come in, Father. And showed me into the living room, introduced me to the housekeeper, and then she had me take a seat, and then she sat down across from me, adjusted her petticoat, and she said, we don't do nothing, and we don't hurt nobody. And sometimes that might be a little too true for us Episcopalians who are so laid back. Many church leaders would tell us and that little girl that what she needed was to understand the Christian faith and be a believer and learn to be a behavior. However, I think she got it right in a very fundamental sense. We belong together. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And the Father gives them to me, and no one can snatch them out of my hands." And for me, that's saying that before belonging or believing or behaving, it is already the case that God has chosen us. Not that we chose God. That God has already chosen us, has already called us, whether we believe correctly or whether we behave correctly, because God loves us. And look at Jesus. He didn't have behavior tests or believing tests. "Come and see," he says to the first disciples. "Come and see." And we see some of this priority of belonging, I think, in our other readings today. There was a disciple of Jesus whose father had named her Gazelle, after those lovely little delicate graceful antelope in North Africa and the Middle East. The Aramaic word for that was Tabitha, and the Greek word was Dorcas. Gazelle, can you see how lovely she was? And she evidently was. She was dearly loved because she was a follower of Jesus. Or in fact, Acts says she was a disciple. She is the only woman in the New Testament called a disciple. So she must have been a pretty good one. She died. Peter's called from a nearby town, who he happens to just be there. He comes there, and through him it's shown that the works of Jesus still continue in his church. And he calls on her to rise up, and she goes on, and she comes to life again and goes on living for a time. Was that because she belonged, believed, or behaved? We don't know. But what it is clear is that God loved her. And then we have that vision of the heavenly worship from the book of Revelation. John had a vision of what heavenly worship was to be like, and the only way he could think of it was by what he saw on Sunday mornings when the church gathered for Eucharist. There was God on his throne, and the Lamb, Jesus, on the altar, and the elders surrounding it, and the angels ministering, and all of the multitude no one could number gathered. It wasn't raining that day, I guess, but all gathered praising God over and over again in that wonderful picture, which we're doing right now, my friends. And why are all of that multitude of people there? Because they followed the shepherd. They belonged. They washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They were baptized and wore white robes. If you were a first century Christian, you knew exactly what those white robes were, because you baptized groups of people every Easter, and they wore white robes for the next 50 days so everybody could spot the newest members of the body of Christ. And they followed the shepherd. And there's that psalm today. If you ever wanted to show people that we're not like just any Episcopal church, just show them the translation of Psalm 23 we had today. That lets you know that we're not all that conventional around here. But look at that. The psalm singer is going through hard times, seemingly lost in a dark valley of troubles. And yet, even there, the shepherd with her staff is guiding him or her through that valley to living waters, chooses him or her to anoint and feed from the heavenly table. Belonging, believing, behaving, which is the most important? I mean, I could tell you which kind of Christianity, Calvinist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever each of those belongs to, but I'm not going to, because after all, we're Episcopalians, and some of us follow one of them, another, some the other. We're sort of like Jewish rabbis that way, okay? But I want to say that over and above any of those categories is that God loves all his creation and above all loves humanity. And that love is not conditional or limited. It is demonstrated in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It is demonstrated now in this gathering in which we, in the Spirit of Christ, invite and welcome everyone, and we don't stop them at the door and say, explain the creed, or let me know if you've been following the Ten Commandments. We just simply say, come. We saw this dramatized in a particular way in this past year, as happens every year around here. People start showing up who've never been baptized and want to know about being part of this community. This year, over a period of several months, four people came to us, each in their own way by varying kinds of journeys, each looking for a community to be part of, a faith to believe, and a guide in how to live. And our role was at first just to welcome them as they are, to try to show them that they have a place here. And as they each in their own way took part in our life, in our Sunday worship and in the process called the Way, or in the case of one of them, in our youth ministry program, they began to desire even more to be baptized and to learn to live in the way of Jesus. At the beginning of Lent, we welcomed them as candidates for baptism, and as Lent moved along, we prayed for them, with them, and for them week by week. And then at the Easter Vigil, which many of you were present for, they joined us in commitment to the way of Jesus called the Baptismal Covenant. And all of us present in a prayer over water recalled God's work in creation, in freeing his people from slavery, in redeeming them from exile, and in dying and rising. And then they were washed in that very water of creation, liberation, dying and rising. They were clothed in white robes to signify their new life. They were anointed as part of God's priestly people, and they joined us in proclaiming Jesus' resurrection. They found that they are part of the flock of the Good Shepherd. And as that happened, and here was, I hope, something if you were here you didn't miss, but in case you did, I'll remind you, we longtime followers of Jesus found ourselves refreshed as we realized we had been washed and anointed and enrobed in God's own righteousness because God loves us. This is the God who in Scripture says, I have called you each by name. I carry you on my breast like a nursing mother. I have engraved your names on the palms of my hands. God has chosen us, and that is not only for this life. For even when we lie in death, God and Jesus bursts into our tombs and sets us free, and we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Baptism, an ancient Christian teacher said, tells us who we are and who we are becoming. Whether belonging, believing, or behaving is most important to you is not what really counts. Finding that we are called and chosen and loved by God is what matters. All the rest follows. God has anointed our heads with oil, brought us to the table in his kingdom, has filled our cup to overflowing with his love. Thanks be to God.